SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
I started to say we're back, and thanks to Comcast for a fairly quick resolution. Good for them. It took them about 20 minutes or so, maybe a little bit more. All right, we can do that. That's all right, Case. If you got Quigley, we'll go Quigley, DeRosa, and Hammer. Hammer, I know Hammer's listening because I heard from him. Good for Comcast. Thank you. We always assume the worst. They called it a signal interruption. Have no idea what that means. That's all right. It gave Tom Quigley an extra 40 minutes, and that means he's come up with even more winners than usual for you. Tom, good morning.
Technology is a beautiful thing when it works, but when it doesn't work, Steve, as you well know, it can be an absolute pain in the you-know-what. Speaking of beautiful things, Del Mar, of course, is in full swing right now, down here full-time, Digging in the sights and sounds, some trends that I think your listeners will find interesting as we go through not only today's card, but the weekend's card. The weekend card is unbelievable, both Saturday and Sunday, multiple grade one races, unique. And, of course, Roy H. tomorrow in the Bing Crosby Sprint. So a lot of good racing. And, of course, the big news of the day, as you well know, double pick six carryover, $165,000. Nope. Old-fashioned two-day carryover on the plate starting in race number three tonight.
Tom, are you there?
I am.
Looks like we lost Steve. I'm going to go to commercial if you could just stand by for a second.
Yeah, sure. I'll stay on.
Thank you.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
There we go. I'm sorry, Tom. That was my fault, and I heard you went on with it, which I admire.
I didn't know you were off, but nevertheless.
Exactly. You know, we're back, and that's happened before, actually. Terrific. You mentioned, it's funny, we always expect the Saturday action to be good, and the Crosby came up really good. But then I pulled up Sunday last night when I got back from the gala that I emceed, and I couldn't believe what a terrific slate Sunday has. I mean, the Hirsch, okay. We knew Unique Bella was running, but then Roadster and the Restricted Stake and virtually everything. I mean, I ended up printing the whole card.
And the field sizes are strong. 9 races on Sunday. I'm looking at the late pick 4 sequence right now. 10 by 11 by 8 by 12. And like you said, a little mix and match of everything, dirt, turf, route, sprint. The whole weekend is, you know, Del Mar just kind of blossoms for Southern California, right? All the owners want to win down here. The purses are slightly higher than they are elsewhere throughout the entire year. So, you know, full fields translating to good wagering, and that's what we're seeing. We've had multiple pick six carryovers down here already. In the last 2 days, nobody's been able to solve the riddle. And today's Friday's card, another full field in most of the sequences, which, of course, is going to create another good payout.
Let's jump in and talk a few topics. And had Jay Pribman earlier. Hammer is going to be on with us in a couple of minutes. Obviously, the long shadow of the Triple Crown winner and his retirement dominating the last 36 hours.
Yeah, not unexpected, unfortunately, for those of us who have been following the saga, which is unfortunate, but, you know, you have to admire what he did in such a short amount of time. Tomorrow he'll be on parade, I believe, either after the third or fourth race. It's relatively early in the card. That will, of course, extend the length of the card as well, probably until about 9:30 your time on the East Coast. But certainly a celebration that I think a lot of people will enjoy, simply because it'll be the last time we see him on a racetrack. Of course, he's heading to Kentucky, to take on his next career. But, hats off to the entire team. And most of the owners of Justify have American Anthem in and the Bing Crosby tomorrow, common ownership between those two horses. So I'm sure many of them will be in attendance as well.
Undoubtedly. And let's dive into some opinions. Start with the Crosby. Really nice. And we do have to also update Victor Espinoza continues to improve, and the notable 12th horse absence, Bobby Abu Dhabi, suffering an equine, basically what we term a cardiac incident for horses. They don't have heart attacks, but really sorry about the way that happened, and of course the lasting impact of the injury to Victor.
You know, it's such a brutal game, right? That's why when you win, you have to celebrate, because the lows are exceedingly low. And, of course, last Sunday, news of the training accident kind of, made the wires fairly quickly. And, Victor, obviously a very, all the jockeys, incredible athletes. But look how long it's taken him to recover. He just got out of intensive care. He started to walk around. So, the injury was pretty serious. And, of course, Brian Beach was, basically by his side every step of the way as he's been in the hospital and giving not only all of us but the media and the Del Mar Racing Office updates on Victor's condition on a daily basis. So, I'm sure they were all looking to a tremendous Del Mar meet, and in a blink of an eye, it all changes, unfortunately, for the worse.
Well, leaves us with 11 and some highly credentialed types. Dive in.
Well, the 7-2 favorite, the 2-1 favorite is Roy H, number 3, which, of course, is no surprise, winner of the Breeders' Cup Sprint. But what's interesting, as you think back, Steve, is think back to last year's Bing Crosby, and you can see Roy H finished second. But you remember what happened that day, got carried 6 wide coming into the lane by a riderless horse, and, of course, Ransom the Moon came right up the rail and took full advantage of it. So that was an eventful Bing Crosby, and the first two finishers are back this year. Ransom the Moon sure seems like he's a little bit off form compared to last year. He just hasn't been able to regain that spirit he had in the Bing Crosby winless since then. And really, the race kind of comes down to what you would expect to be the two favorites, Roy H and American Anthem, right next door to each other in post 3 or 4. I will tell you this, Steve, if you've been paying any attention, or your listeners have been paying any attention at all to Del Mar sprint races since opening day, it's a trend that's carried forward. You do not need to necessarily be positioned outside in the starting gate, but coming in the lane, the outside lanes are preferable. I wouldn't call it an extreme strong bias, but I would call it a bias to some extent, because most of the winners are positioned outside. You can still be in the 2-3-4 path, but you want to be off the rail coming into the lane. And it's happened day after day, race after race. And so it's just something to think about. When we handicap, we think mentally about how the race is going to shape up. So when you're looking at these various races, whether it's today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and I expect that bias to stay in effect, the weather conditions haven't changed. It's overcast right now in Del Mar. Later on today at 4 o'clock, which is time for the first post, I'm sure it'll be overcast again. So I think that quote-unquote bias will be in play. And if you're thinking that maybe that might impede the inside runners that I spoke about, the only other runner I could really see making a case for is number 8, St. Joe Bay. And it's really a good news, bad news scenario. First off, the claim last time for the Sadler Barn just missed by a nose to American Anthem. It was a dirty beat at 42-1. And if you have the PPs in front of you, take a look at that improvement from a buyer speed figure standpoint, almost 20 points. If he can continue that progression, he's in with a shot here. The problem is, might he react and bounce off that unbelievably strong effort, by far his career best? But St. Joe Bay is positioned in that outside post that I've been talking about. He's going to get a good stalking trip, and he might be a little bit of a long shot to take a look at in the Bing Crosby.
Nice. I'm very taken with this. This is a really good group, and there's some under the radar types that, you know, you point out, St. Joe Bay, Edwards going left, you know, that race in the Cal Cup sprint would impact this. Even an improving type. I'll give you a crazy horse that I talk to O'Neill about regularly, and that's that Stone Hands. This is a horse that is kind of creeping forward and improving slowly. He tried some of these heavy heads, you know, going 7/8. Maybe the 6 is a little bit better for him. I can't wait to see tonight what Andy Harrington has to say about Stone Hands, you know, since he's come down to the Seaside Oval. This is a really good showcase. And you know what's funny, Tom? We've had and Hammer's going to be on in a bit. So many of the West Coast sprint races have been shorter fields, and it's good to see the Grade One, you know, bring them out of the woodwork.
Well, no two hotter barns so far for the start of the meet than Doug O'Neill and Jerry Hollendorfer. They are definitely hitting in all cylinders. You can see that with O'Neill's win percentage at the meet. So definitely a hot barn. And we wouldn't do the East Coast justice without talking about the outside horse, Steve. Stall, walk, and do.
Absolutely.
David Jacobson on record that he's going to focus on here in Southern California. And you can see that already. $1 million earner, the winner of the fall high weight handicap at Aqueduct last fall. And so he adds a little bit of spice to the mix as well, because typically we don't see these East Coast sprinters coming into knock heads with the West Coast sprinters. And again, he's got a good outside post. It actually might be too far out. The farther out you go in the sprint races, not only at Del Mar but at Santa Anita, the win percentages really dropped dramatically if you did a post position analysis. But nevertheless, Stall, Walk, and Dude in with a chance, and he's going to be a price.
We've got the maiden specials that, you know, dot the landscape, really from here through Ellis and out to Del Mar, Gulfstream too, actually, for what they're running for, and the excitement around the American Pharoah Sister tomorrow to kick off the day, and then Roadster on Sunday. Jay Pribben and I talked about the Baffert babies earlier.
Yeah, both from the Baffert barn, chasing yesterday, the half-sister to American Pharoah, drew outside in the first race tomorrow, 6-5 on the morning line, ridden by Mike Smith. You got to believe that she's going to have all of her screws tightened. But, you know, that's the beauty of these summer boutique meets, is you start to see the debut of so many horses that are going to become good three-year-olds, and certainly fingers crossed that Chasing Yesterday can follow in her brother's footsteps.
Well, in addition to the Grade One, we've also got a interesting restricted stake, and I had Leonard Powell on yesterday, and we talked about Soy Fett, but boy, the California Dreamin', for $150,000 and no grading, this thing brought out plenty of serious horses, not the least of which Ashley Love Sugar and What a View, and boy, Pee-wee Reese may be as likely as anybody in here.
You know, when I looked at the race, Steve, it put a smile on my face, because sometimes we take the California breeding industry for granted. But as you look through this field, isn't it pretty amazing that What of You, Ashley Love Sugar, and Pee-wee Reese are all Calbreds? Maybe 5 years ago, you never would have thought that horses with this much talent would really be Calbreds. So I think it shows that the state programs, whether it's New York, Pennsylvania, or California, are really starting to improve the quality of racing. And you mentioned What of You and Pee-wee Reese. They both only really have one way to go. They've got to go to the front. They could hook up early. They're drawn inside. The rails tomorrow are going to be at 12 feet. They're at 30 feet, the full extension today. But What of You won two races back in an open Grade 3 race against, you know, obviously not just Calbreds. So takes a drop down in class and switches over to DeSormo. Ashley Loves Sugar also goes back to Stevens. I think Stevens rides this horse best. You can see Flavian took a shot, and last time actually even made a bit of an early move that you can see in the running lines. And Pee-wee Reese we haven't seen since New Year's Day, but he can certainly run fresh, and he fires triple digit buyers all the time. So this is a really, and if you, you know, and it's deeper than that, like you said, Soy Fett 50-50 right now, according to Leonard Powell in the stable notes that Del Mar posted. And so, I mean, it's a really good betting race, and it's symbolic of really what the weekend cards are all about.
Well, Tom, Unique Bella on Sunday, and a card that I thought I would be concentrating on Monmouth on Sunday, but it I was shocked. I said, "What am I going to do here?" And should by some chance should we get a carryover from Saturday into Sunday, then that Del Mar card will become very much a focus. So it should be a great weekend.
Well, the good news is the time zone works to all of our advantages, right? The time zone difference. Monmouth will be pretty much over by the time we start to get into our pick six rotation. 2 o'clock normal first post here on the weekend, on the weekdays and weekends, except for Fridays at Del Mar. And so Unique Bella looks like almost a layup, right? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if the show plunger shows up and really unloads on her, because I mean, you look through the rest of the field and really they're really grasping for straws if they can maybe, think that they can beat Unique Bella, because none of them have really even come close to a triple digit buyer. You remember at the beginning of the year, I kind of knocked Unique Bella because I said up to that point in her career, she hadn't run a triple digit buyer, and lo and behold, two of her last three races she has. And the one time when she didn't, she got off slowly in the Apple Blossom. So you can see she's improving from turning three now into her 4-year-old campaign. So she's an exciting filly. No need to really introduce her. But, of course, Collendorf are expecting big things from her as they look forward to the Breeders' Cup distaff.
We always look forward to a visit to Quigley's Corner. Follow Tom, of course, on Twitter. Tom, so far, a little under 2 weeks, of course. Best meal you've had down there so far?
Well, I haven't had it yet because there's so many good restaurants. By far, my favorite restaurant is The Market. I haven't been able to get over there yet. But, whether it's Oceanside Dining at Jake's or Spica's, I mean, Brigantine comes to mind. I've already had my share of fish tacos over there. That's the beauty of Del Mar and Saratoga, is not only it's the races themselves and trying to handicap and win money, but the social aspect afterwards. So I'll put in the number one slot the Brigantine, just because it's everybody's kind of favorite with that view overlooking the racetrack.
Well, Tom Quigley, one of our favorites. Tom, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Can't wait, Steve. Good luck to you and all your listeners.
Big Q, Tom Quigley, everybody. We'll take a timeout here. We've got Ed DeRosa standing by. Perfect timing. We'll get Ed to the bottom of the hour and then get Hammer in here. Hammer is on cruise control this morning. And he unearthed, it's funny, he tweeted the other day an article that I had seen, I think either the morning, earlier in the day, about concert going, and that concert going contributes to good mental health and longevity. So get to a concert near you during the summer concert season or any other time. I'll talk about a concert. Happened last night, you bid on those silent auction items and got a tremendous deal. The Philadelphia Orchestra, which makes its summer home here at Saratoga at SPAC, and I got two flex passes, can be used as many times as I want during the 3-week Philadelphia Orchestra season here, starting August 1st. $85 for two of them. Can go every night. And won't be able to go every night, but I was shocked actually when I won it. I've been going to the Philadelphia Orchestra at SPAC since Eugene Ormandy was conducting. That's how long the Philadelphia Orchestra has made Saratoga their summer home. So looking forward to that. Back after this, we're looking forward to Ed DeRosa. We'll get some opinions from Ed. See how he's making out as well. Weekend preview continues. We had a little preview interrupt us. Back with Ed after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
We're back at the races about 15 into hour three. Just looking ahead to Sunday in New York as well. We're going to talk Haskell card with Ed DeRosa. But the Shoe V is Sunday in New York. And there's also a good maiden filly race to take note. But the Shoe V, the grade three. And you've got Tiger Moth, as Brad Cox mentioned, coming back in this spot. Hasn't been seen since the La Troy end. There's some excitement about Chad Brown's Wowcat, the Chilean, the looking at Lucky Bred Chilean Wowcat, and just happened to be kind of interesting. I'm going to take some interest in this filly because we've got our looking at Lucky 2-year-old colt, Kid Chocolate, who's bred identically in terms of looking at Lucky out of a Cat Thief mare. Kid Chocolate is out of a Cat Thief mare, and by looking at Lucky. So Wowcat comes from the Hippodromo circuit down in Chile. We love playing Chile. Ivy Bell certainly has done very little wrong. Has Ivy Bell, the China Horse Club Archmare, and Pacific Wind in here for Chad, and the West Coast Connections. She's come east, and she did win the Ruffian, you might recall. Farrell lands in this spot as well. So the Shoe V came up okay. But Sunday, you know, we're so used to Saturday, Ed DeRosa, being the big focus all year long. But, boy, Sunday, no flies on Sunday, Saratoga, Monmouth, and Del Mar. Good morning, Ed DeRosa.
Yeah, unique at Del Mar, and I'm glad you mentioned the Shoe V. I told you I was ready for Haskell Day, but I'm definitely interested in Wowcat. Some may remember back in, I think, 2003, the Shoe V was Wild Spirit's coming out party for Bobby Frankel. And I'm not sure if Chad was working for Bobby at the time, but Wild Spirit had won the Chilean Triple Crown. before coming up here, and she even tried a Zeri in the 04 Apple Blossom. And, you know, the good ones can be great from anywhere, so I'm definitely keen to see Wildcat and if she follows in the footsteps with Bobby's former assistant.
Look at the big historic chops on Ed.
I really like Wild Spirit, so it's more, you know, was able to zero in on a favorite. But, yeah, I remember when she won the Chouvet, and it was at an incredible price for Bobby Frankel, nonetheless. So kind of, you know, one of those you were in the right spot at the right price, and you kind of latch onto them. And, you know, the fact that Azari defeated her at the Apple Blossom, I thought really, you know, not that Azari by that point hadn't shown she was a great, but, you know, she faced a good one that day and turned her away. So it was good to see the good ones run against each other back then. And not quite the same race shaping up in the Clement Hirsch for one of my current favorites, Unique Bella. But hopefully we'll get our chance in the distaff to see a throwdown.
Well, let's catch up with a little bit of kind of some summary judgments, as it were. Early thoughts about the two meets, Spa and Del Mar?
Yeah, but played Saratoga a little more, and for my style of handicapping, have enjoyed it because it hasn't been a steady parade of chalk, while also I haven't had any that I've played complete head-scratchers, and I've taken some shots at some 20, 30-to-1 horses that didn't pan out, as they seldom do. They're that price for a reason, but... at the same time, none have come in where I've just been like, man, how in the world could you have ever had that horse, and you're out of every multi and it's frustrating. I've definitely felt like there's been some opportunities, though, where the public money has gone in the wrong direction. One of the horses, Wednesday, the Collegeville, the two-year-old Firster, I actually liked a little bit shipping in from the Mid-Atlantic, and we caught a good price there. So I definitely, in summary, think opportunity is the right word for the Saratoga meet. I think if you pick your spots and are willing to go against some favorites and connect the dots, as with any big meet, but this seems for my style of handicapping, I've been pretty zeroed in, and it's kind of stuck with it because of the time zone and haven't ventured to Del Mar too much. But I will say with Del Mar, I mean, the two-year-old unveiling has been a lot of fun. It started with Brill, Bob Baffert countered with Mother, and, you know, we're already talking about the debutante. So certainly that's been a part of the fun this summer as well.
Nice. Well, let's dive into the weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned Sunday, and we've touched on the Chouvet and the Clement Hirsch, Saratoga and Del Mar, but of course, many people will be focused on the Shore as well, with Monmouth, and the Twin Spires promotion is the place promotion that we had last week at Lone Star and has had at various tracks throughout the summer. If you place a $5 place bet on all 14 races, everyone who does that is going to split $1,000. If you happen to sweep the card, the pot's up to $5,000, which is great because $5,000 is a lot of money, and if you do it, you'll probably be the only one. Unfortunate that, you know, these big days, they unloaded with the 14-race card, so it does become a lot more difficult, but if no one does it, we'll carry it over to the next time, and, you know, eventually someone's going to win a lot of money. Maybe it'll be Sunday if you connect enough dots, but... Even if you don't, there's separate prizes for getting 5 and 8 races right. And anyone who does all 14 races, whether you win or lose, you split $1,000 among that group. So I think that's a good promotion. Place bets, easy to get involved. You're handicapping the races anyway. $5, an easy entry level. But I do think it's a great card. And I'm against Good Magic in the Haskell. I just think he's going to be way over bet. You know, maybe next time will be the time, maybe get a better price if he gets beat. But I'm using Core Beliefs, Bravazo, and Lone Sailor is my three that I want to get live to in the multi-race bets. I thought the Ohio Derby was a solid race, and Core Beliefs, I think, will maybe get the right trip. And at 4-1, he's my top pick.
I can't blame you for that. And, you know, the one factor that has not been discussed... maybe just because of justifies dominating the news is the news cycle on Thursday. I think you do want to see good magic come back after that gut punch in Baltimore, and I'm not going to compare Boldoro per se, but as we used to talk about with Rachel Alexandra, anybody that that ran with her ended up on the scrap heap and were never the same. We'll see. I don't blame you at all for taking a bit of a stand. I have had a bit of a notion along those lines too. I'll do my work on Saturday and write it up on Sunday. But I don't blame you, Ed. I think you might be on to a little something.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just sort of maybe obscure class to those on the East Coast, not as in tune with some of the Midwest races. But the horse who was third in the Ohio Derby came back and ran huge at Indiana Grand and just did get pipped on the wire. He was a vomit at Ohio.
Trigger warning.
And,
we've talked about Mike Roan's horse. That is a absolute hard trier and a horse that is a complete obscurity and has run two terrific regional derby. I completely acknowledge that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think Corbelly fits. And, you know, to your point, with Good Magic, and he took two big runs at Justify, whereas the other two I mentioned, Bravazo and Lone Sailor, well, I guess Lone Sailor was in the Derby, but he was much further back, and it wasn't quite the challenge that Good Magic gave. You know, they've been there, done that too. So, but there'll be bigger prices than Good Magic, so I'm still willing to use them. And, you know, shifting to the Jim Dandy real quick, Vino Rosso, to me is similar at even money. I'm just going to have to see it. And then you also have a closer in a short field. So there's just a lot of reasons, I think, to go against the chalk in these big three-year-old races this weekend.
All right. Keep going.
I'm going to give an Alan Goldberg double here and combine the Ocean Port, which kicks off the stake sequence at Monmouth, and the Wolf Hill as the turf sprint that leads into the Haskell. And I like Alan in both of these. Force of the Pass is a horse that I've been on at the right times. Liked him in as a three-year-old in both his turf tries. Liked that he gets an extra half furlong in the Ocean Port. He's been running at a mile. Decent races. You know, no one was beaten Oscar performance in the poker last time. I just think the horse fits. We know Alan knows how to get him ready in the Mid-Atlantic. I think he gets an outside stalking trip. And again, the added distance, I think, could be to his benefit in the Ocean Port. And then Alan has pool winner in the Wolf Hill. He's 2 for 5 at Monmouth, and another one I think is ideally drawn on the outside for that 5.5 furlong trip. He's been running 5 furlong turf sprints, and another where I think the half furlong that could help make a difference. Didn't see warning lines, and I'm not as familiar with the circuit there enough to guess at these prices. But just a quick glance at the PPs, I don't see either being over bet. So those are two I'm liking on the Haskell undercard.
All right.
And I'll conclude with the Bowling Green. I think I've given this horse out every time he runs, but the price stays the same. So I figure even if I'm wrong 4 times, if I'm right the 5th, you still double your money on Channel Makers, 10-1 on the morning line. But I'm going to the well again. And, you know, unfortunately, it's having the look of one of those horses who's going to beat me when he's even money and I jump off at a short price when he finds the right group. But you know, I think this is a talented group, but we know all of them. I don't necessarily think any of them's a world beater in here. You know, certainly High Happy and Sadler's Joy fit, but I think Channel Maker at 10-1 fits too, and maybe Saturday can be the day.
All right. All right. Yeah, his name kind of keep coming back to him a little bit too. It's a fun group.
I picked him in the Queen's Plate. I picked him on Derby Day. I mean, eventually it, 10-1, hopefully, at that point, like I said, I'll just be even, but I'm a believer. Until he's over bed, I'll keep giving him a try.
Very good. Well, Ed, I appreciate it. And write up the big picks. And we heard from Scully earlier. Should be a fabulous race weekend, coast to coast. I appreciate it.
Really looking forward to it. Thanks, Steve.
Ed DeRosa, folks, EJXD2. Bottom of the hour upon us. And back rolling along. Rick Hammerly standing by. Hammer's been listening in. And we'll talk about Del Mar with him. Get some scoop. He's got his ear to the rail. And I'm going to reach out to Mike Welsh and see if Welsh has got a minute or two at the end of the show just to pitch in a couple of clocker specials. DRF Clocker Report on both coasts. Back after this weekend preview at the races, Sirius XM.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Taking you inside the sport of kings, it's At the Races on Sirius Sports. Here's your host, Steve Vick.
Where the turf meets the surf, down at Old El Mar. Take a plane, take a train, take a car. There's a smile on every face, and a winner in each race. Where the turf meets the turf.
Summer is one of the best.
At Del Mar. There you go. What happened? Bing, the Binglehoffer forgot the words. Come on. Come on, Bing. As Bing sings, I see that the Fun in the Sun races are set for Saturday. And Tina will make another pitch at it. She got as high as eighth last week. We're looking at this group, and the races 5 and 5 this week. 5 and 5. Saratoga, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and then the 9th and the 11th. The 6th, 7th, and 8th, that's a open company allowance group in the 6th. You got the Amsterdam is the 7th. The 8th would be the Vanderbilt. Nice. Then the 9th, the Bowling Green. They're skipping over the Jim Dandy, the short field, and not that those five aren't, you know, nice five. And then they're going to use that first level turf route, mile and an eighth for three-year-old fillies. Those are the five for Saratoga. And we'll look at the Del Mar races as part of our conversation with Hammer. And I should also mention we're handicapping the Haskell card tonight, 6 o'clock. Christina Blacker is going to join us for the first time, I think. Yeah, first time. I think she actually may have done one other when I couldn't take hosting responsibilities. So Stats Race Lens tonight. I'll send out the registration link, but to join Christina and Ella Starr and myself, we'll go through the Haskell action. And Hammer was certainly on hand for his share of Haskell days at Oceanport. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Steve. I was wondering if we were going to talk this morning after that little blip on the screen, but glad we got it repaired, whatever it was.
Well, Comcast.
I told Casey he was a pro. He plugged right in on the replay show and went on like nothing happened. So that was good.
Exactly. That's what else choice do we have, you know?
You have no other choice. Just like, it's funny, I'm driving in, and our wonderful Caltrans workers out here on a nice Friday morning decided to, maybe we're going to widen the lane this morning, and, you know, just out of nowhere, they do a little Friday morning work, and you have to laugh because their logo is a guy leaning against a shovel in a little silhouette, and sure enough, you drive by, and they got all these trucks out there, and there's four or five guys leaning against the shovel. You got to love it. You wonder, what are they doing on a Friday morning, you know, middle rush hour, closing three lanes. But anyway, life in a big city. But it's good to talk to you. I wish I was back at Del Mar this week as last year. But I tell you what, you just close your eyes and you know you're not there. It's been triple digits here since we got back, and it's summertime, so it's supposed to be. But the double dip with down there, Del Mar, it's a great place. B, it's yeah, the weather's great, and see, there's racing going on. It's I can't really wait to get back and enjoy all three of them. It's just a great spot in the summertime, I'll tell you what. It's a great spot anytime, but when you have a great spot with racing, you can't beat it, kind of like Saratoga itself. But anyway, we're here, and you mentioned Haskell Weekend, and I was lucky enough to remember to cancel my reservation. We had some reservations. We were going to head out this weekend and enjoy the Jersey Shore for a few days, but something came up here. We had to cancel, so I'm glad you reminded me so I didn't have to pay that fee to get out of that. But nothing quite like Haskell Weekend at Monmouth Park. They do such a good job, and it's definitely the highlight of the season, and we'll talk about that race later if you want. But anyway, a lot of memories of the Jersey Shore. You mentioned, it's funny, you were talking to Frank Miramonte about the Wolf Hill. And I think I named that race, as a matter of fact. And Wolf Hill is, you know, very significant in the history of Monmouth Park. It was a right across the street from Monmouth. Was an estate there, and Wolf Hill, you know, as hills will be in New Jersey, rises up a little bit. And amongst the trees there was a house, a mansion, an estate, so to speak, that was there for probably 100 years or so. And when I worked there, one of the guys in the office, John Perlow, and his wife, Anka, lived there and took care of the place, and we would put people up. It was one of the enticements to get people to come to run in stake races. We'd call them and come, and, you know, one of the questions inevitably was, can you get me a room at Wolf Hill? So we would put them up there. And a great little spot amongst the trees. In fact, Gene and I, although we got married out here, we had our wedding reception at Wolf Hill in a February snowstorm. And I'll tell you what, there are pictures. I'll show you sometime. But we had a great time up there. And then, I don't know, must have been 10, 15 years ago. For some reason, they sold the property and knocked the place down. And anyway, long story, but Wolf Hill, great little spot in Monmouth Park history. But anyway, that's... that is history. Speaking of that, I'm sure we've talked all week about Justify, but we all kind of felt it. And I'll tell you, myself, I'm going to say about 3 weeks ago, I was driving in here. It was before the horse. Obviously, the meet was over, and the horses were still here, hadn't quite left for Del Mar. And I was driving in at 8:39, you know, kind of banker's hours when we're not racing, and Bob Baffert was walking out. He actually was walking with Brad Pegram, Mike Smith's agent, kind of slowly, and we were going opposite directions, and I pulled over, you know, rolled the window down, had a little small talk, and then I kind of said, hey, how's the big horse? And you could just see the kind of the disappointment come over his face, and his, you know, there wasn't that sparkle in his eye he had for that run. And he said, well, you know, and, you know, look, little ankle, and he didn't want to talk about it, but I could tell at that moment that he wasn't coming back. And you could just see it in his face how, you know, disappointed he was. Basically, you know, in his, like he talked to him the other day, there just wasn't enough time for what they needed to do. But it's, you know, like I said, everybody's saying, great run, 112 days. Of course, for me, it was 115 days because it all started for me on the entry day when he, you know, let out that unbelievable statement saying, hey, we got to make that race because I got a horse in there that can win the Derby. So that's when it started for me. So I've had a great run, and with Jimmy, we were both on board the bus and had a great time. I sent out a tweet. I need to go to like the Twitter rehab or something. I've been doing too much of that. But I sent one out yesterday. We were walking the backside, checking out repairs, and we're in Baffert's barn. I sent out a picture of stall 33 in Bob's barn, which was obviously empty. But American Pharoah, Arrogate, and Justify were tenants there, and I sent out a text, who's next? And it's got a lot of reaction, and had a lot of answers, both on Twitter and phone calls, whatever, but the number one answer was Roadster, this horse that's in on Sunday, as being the next one. So we'll see how that goes, but imagine a stall with those three horses in it consecutively through the year. So he's been quite blessed with the horse flesh he's had, and boy, you know, he knows what to do with it. So he's, you know, very kind of, it's really humbled him through the years. I'll tell you, that makes it a little easier to deal with. Not that he was hard, but he realizes how lucky he's been. But you know, we've been lucky here to have those horses housed here. So anyway, Justify, a little lightning in a bottle, and I got a out of the blue yesterday, I got a package from Blood Horse sent to my house, and I subscribed to Blood Horse, but only here. But so somebody was generous enough to put in the mail one of the Triple Crown commemorative magazine book type things with Justify on the cover, and it's a review of all the Triple Crown winners. And I don't know who sent it, but thanks for sending it. Great thing. I don't know how much it is, but anybody who follows racing and was followed Justify this year and is into Triple Crown, go to bloodhorse.com. I'm sure you can find it somewhere. I mean, if I'd have known about it, I would have bought it myself, but I was up until the wee hours reading articles about all kinds of the Triple Crown winners. So anyway, it's been a good run, and now we got the second half of the year to look forward to.
Very much. And one of the topics that, you know, you're not going to deal with it necessarily out there, but we got these three-year-olds, and I'm kind of anxious to see. There's some horses that are going to emerge, because part of the discourse, Hammer, with Justify's retirement seems to be the reevaluation. Even Jay Privman, you know, said candidly that you know, the early read on what the three-year-old crop was looking like in the winter. This middle third of the year, they've all kind of, you know, seems like they knocked the gear from third into neutral instead of, you know, dropping the hammer down. So either somebody's going to, you know, kind of emerge out of the late developers, or, you know, some of the ones that, like a Hofberg, that took a little freshening and are being geared, you know, for specific assignments. We need somebody to put the bloom back on the rose.
We do. You know, I didn't hear exactly what Jay said, but the way you summarized it sounds exactly what happened. I remember you and I talking in mid-February or January saying, you know, just so quiet on the three-year-old front. It's kind of, you know, what's going on? And then we had the Bolt D'Oro McKenzie race that kind of lit everybody up, and then Justify came on the scene and got a little rush there for a while, but now we're back in neutral. Oh, wait, real quick before I forget. So Justify ran six races, as you know. So I'm thinking, you made five of them, so I'm thinking any listener out there, any fan that can prove to me that you were at all six races, I'll send you a signed poster, Triple Crown poster signed by Baffert. I don't know how we'll do it, but find me, send me a tweet, whatever, we'll talk. And if you can prove to me that you were at all six races, yeah, I'll send you a poster. The first couple of people that do that. So probably going to be my obvious California people that were here that Sunday for the beginning, and then I guess the other Sunday too. Two Sundays. Two kind of, you know, obscure Sundays, and then obviously had every reason to be here for the San Diego Derby, but then have to make the Triple Crown trip as well. So I'm sure there's someone who has, so get the word out. If you know someone that does, have them get a hold of me, and we'll have a discussion, and if it sounds good to me, I'll send you a signed poster. So I wanted to get that out. You came close, you're not eligible.
Is Zoe Cadman, is Zoe eligible?
No, you got to. Nobody connected to the game. You know, I mean, obviously, the barn went with them and everything else. You know, there's probably some writers that were around, but I mean, a fan. I'm talking about a fan that was on all six events. So we'll throw that out there.
Nice, I love it.
So anyway, I got one more thing I wanted to talk before you get me going here. You had earlier in the week, you had Tommy Trotter on. And, wow. You know, it's one of those guys that when the voice comes on, you listen. I tell you, I think I tweeted to you, or tweeted, or you got me on tweet. I texted you during, you know, is this guy in the Hall of Fame? I mean, I tell you what, guys like him, I don't know what category you do, but, you know.
The builders, probably.
Yeah, something. I tell you, now, here's a guy that, I mean, he's 90 years old. He was telling stories like him, like yesterday, and I had the pleasure of meeting him in Gulfstream Park. I think he was a steward then, and I remember Humphrey telling me, "This is Tommy Trotter." And you know, he was in East Coast. I wasn't really familiar with the name, and he told me, "Whatever he says, you do it," or something like that, right? Now here's a guy that walked into the room. We had a conversation, and within a minute, you knew that this guy was a guy you wanted to just absorb from, and the instant respect. I mean, in any profession, whether you're, you know, a landscaper, a painter, whatever, when that guy comes in and that knows more than anything, or is just you look up to, he was the guy. He'd worked everywhere. He was calm in situations where you didn't need to be calm. And we lived next door at Monmouth Park to Betty Anderson, who ran the kitchen at Monmouth, and I think maybe Gulfstream as well. And they were close friends. And in fact, one of Tommy's kids was our vet for our pets, a pet vet. And I guess got to know him, pretty good. But I tell you, what a guy! But there needs to be a place in the Hall of Fame for guys like him that you know, just were the heartbeat of the game for many, many years. And what did he work at, 20-some tracks? I mean, and just amazing. But I wanted to get that in there. It was a great interview, too.
Now, I ran that the other day when I had an appointment, and I got a lot of people who had never heard it. They loved it, and he can't come up this year. He's got a little hairline fracture. He took a spill, but he's doing okay. And you know, when Harvey Pack is on, Tommy Trotter, people like this, unbelievable. They just the stories. Yeah. People just love them.
They do.
Well, there's new stories all the time, though, Rick.
Pardon?
New stories, including what we're going to see this weekend. Dive in, get some opinions from you. That Bing Crosby came up great.
Yeah, you know, kind of upset about that. We run about three or four or five stakes, and here we get 5 and 6 horse. No, I'm just kidding. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get, well, you know what? It's great. I mean, that's what it's all about down there. But all the guys that won our races are in there. It's a real, real good race. Roy H., obviously the horse to beat, loves Del Mar. Won the Breeders' Cup there and had some bad luck last time in the Bing Crosby. I guess it's the old, if you're going to try and beat him the first time back. He's obviously on the road to trying to repeat as the sprint champion. And so a couple other horses I would keep an eye on. American Pastime from the Hess barn, making his first start back. I think he'll run well fresh. He's quietly, you know, ducked the horses out here. He's been off for a while, but I think he can run with these. Whether he can go all the way, I'm not sure. But I think he'll make a decent account of himself. American Anthem, I know Bob the other day was kind of talking him down because of the distance. You know, maybe he is a better horse going 7/8, but believe me, he's been pointing for this race after the San Carlos victory, and I think you'll see him in the mix. I mean, he's one of the now horses. You had Tom Quigley on earlier, and I quickly turned him off because he's so good at breaking down a race. I didn't want to hear what he said and say the same thing twice, so if I do, it's not on purpose. Ransom the Moon, I think he's a step slower. Edwards going left. I think he's the real deal. He's one of those horses that does like Del Mar, and Del Mar is definitely a horse for course type of place. And then on the outside, you got Stall Walking Dude in typical Dave Jacobson fashion. Brings him back in 2 weeks, ships him across country. But I mean, what a moneymaker this horse has been. 60 starts, 40 times in the money. Outside is okay at Del Mar, maybe not as good as some other places, but he's a fighter. He's going to be there. But I like the American horses, American Anthem, and American Pastime as a possibility to be there with Roy H. But you know, Peter Miller's starting to heat up down there, so we'll be all eyes on him. And then that Cowbred race that's a little bit earlier, the Cal Dreamin', came up good. So you have a couple of decisions to make in this race. You have the top four finishers of the Crystal Water, Soy Fett, B-Squared, well-developed, and Ashley Loves Sugar. So they were a half length apart. So you can decide whether you think those guys are going to run back or take an outsider or two. What a View's in here. Grade 1 winner over the past 7 years old, obviously lost a step a little bit, but you know, he's dipping down with his friends to the cowbred ranks. He'll move up a little bit here. I believe the rail's out 10, 12 feet, and as we know, the further out we go, the it takes away from the stretch runners. It just fans them that little bit extra wide, and the guys on the lead can cut that corner and make a run. So what a View, maybe a little bit of a pace play here, along with Pee Wee Reese, who is a graded stake winner as well. And he's fresh, and I look for him to run against his buddies again too, the Cowbreds. And then a horse that I couldn't believe was 5-1, I think he'll drift up, Fly to Mars from Peter Miller. Just won an allowance race, has tried state company before, but it's 5-1 in the program. I think he'll drift up with all these other horses in there, and even Soy Fett at 12-1 I thought was a little high. But I'm taking the old let's go outside the crystal water event and look at you know, what have you Pee Wee Reese and Fly to Mars to be in there. So that's good. You talked about that filly in the first race at Baffert's, and you know, the wheels on the bus go round and round. They just keep going, and we'll see what she does. He had that filly the other day, Mother that tried to kind of downplay a little bit, but she looked great. And this filly in here chasing yesterday, small field tomorrow, and then on Sunday we have you know, that 2-year-old race we mentioned with Roadster in. He drew the rail in the sixth race and looks like a formidable field. So this is the one that is not under the radar. Roadster, everyone's talking about him, so we'll take a look at him from a view from afar. The Clement Hirsch, what can you say? Unique Bella against a few. She's come back. I got to say, last time she ran at Del Mar, that was my the best all button they ever hit in that race, with Bar of Gold coming in and completed a nice pick three. But I don't see too many obstacles here. Going long, I think she relaxes a little bit better. She doesn't need the lead. She's going to be near the lead, of course. And let's face it, most of these are running for grade one placing, and I don't blame them. LaForce will be there, and Shenandoah Queen and Yvetzi, who jumped up for the Sadler barn. Boy, what about John Sadler? He's just had a great start to the meet. He's a stake man, you know. He's got Edwards going left in on Saturday. He's got a couple fillies in here. And I'll tell you what, he's really starting out the meet good. And, you know, he's always been a good trainer, but it's nice to see these guys win early and win with the good horses. And then the Fleet Treat, 3-year-old cowbred fillies going 7/8. Spice Perfection looks to be the one to beat. Should love this distance. Never been out of the money at Del Mar. And there's another horse on the outside. I don't have the odds with me. Phil D'Amato has a second-time starter. Just grazed me. And I know, very anxious for that race to go back there in June. And the horse ran really good. It's only, I know it's a second time out, but this might be one of those ones to try and get a little bit of a price on today, because I don't think you're going to see her at higher odds anytime soon. She might be the real deal. Just graze me. But good couple cards down there. I wish I was going to be there. I won't be. I'll be watching from up here. And, of course, the Haskell. Can't not talk about the Haskell. With the Jim Dandy and what is the other race? What's the Hofburg race? The Curlin. And this
Curlin
race
today.
All on the same weekend kind of dilutes it a little bit, unfortunately. But you know what? The Haskell got the best race, of course. It's supposed to. Good magic's here. You know, you kind of want to hope that he runs a bang-up race here and you know, moves on, carries the torch for some of the three-year-olds here. Glad to see Pete Erton send back Corbelis. I think he is the real deal. We really had to talk him into running in the Santa Anita Derby here, I remember. And I was thrilled to get third, and then made a nice run in the Peter Pan, looked like a winner, and came back and won the Ohio Derby. So he's got every right to improve if Good Magic's not the real deal. And his nose mate, Lone Sailor, as well, going in the right direction for Tom Amos. I'd sure like to see him run a good one. But if you're near the Jersey Shore, head out to Monmouth. He'll have a great time. They got probably 10, 12, 14 races and 7 or 8 stakes, and a good time to be had by all. I think the weather's going to be good there, too. So summer's here, and the time is right for racing in the streets. Let's do it.
I love it. Hammer, have a great weekend.
Did you ever find that Call the Police song from Nat King Cole?
No, but I will.
You need to do it. You need it. It's perfect for the Ray, for your deal. You'll love it, and so will everybody else. But anyway, have a great weekend, Steve, and say hi to Tina, and down the road.
Down the road, exactly. I appreciate it, Hammer, and what a great week it was, and what a great weekend it should be. I want to thank Jay Pribman, James Scully, Frank Miramati, Tom Quigley, Ed DeRosa, and Hammer, and Casey, and ComQuest for straightening up quick. Should be a fun afternoon. I put up races 5 through 10. It's a good card. The card today is fun. It's a very bettable. That Nightcap has got some $25,000 maiden claiming New York bred fillies going 6.5. And the quality, it's a quality group. They're not hopeless types. It's a great way to finish a exciting sequence today. I think we're getting into the routine now. Now that we got that weather behind us, HRRN will take you through the afternoon and tomorrow here on Sirius XM. Best of luck, everybody. I'm sure Gus will look at some stuff tomorrow. Tonight, 6 o'clock. Join us for the Stats Racelens Haskell Day Seminar. Christina Blacker, Ella Starr, and myself. And we'll talk to you live Monday here on Sirius XM. Good luck. Thanks, everybody.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.